This is Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to have back here on the program the man we like to call our chef in residence. Doyle Moore is his name. And for a long time now, every month he's been stopping by. And we've been doing this on the first Wednesday. And we talk about food. And we always have a good time picking some theme. Although, there's no rule here that we stick to the theme. We sometimes dance around it. We sometimes actually manage to talk about that thing. But sometimes other things come up during the course of the conversation, which is fine. We tell stories about cooking and meals we have known, sometimes exchange recipes. Sometimes people have called in and said, you know, there's something I'm trying to make and it's just not working for me. Do you have some idea what I might be doing wrong? Any and all of that. We can certainly do. And this time around, Doyle said he would like to talk about cooking vegetables on the grill. And certainly, as I said before the news, the grill is not just for meat. You can do a lot of great things with vegetables. And I think, as I said in the promo, cooking them by that method will bring out qualities in them that you're not going to get any other way. And generally, you know, I'm sure also at this time of the year, you want to, as much as you're cooking as you can get outside, that's good. You know, keep the heat outside, keep it cool inside. So maybe a good recipe for grilled vegetables that you would like to share with us, that would be great. And or if you just want to call in and say hi, that's fine too. 333-9455 is the number here in Champaign-Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line. That one is good anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. At any point here, if you want to call in, you can do that. So was there some particular reason you started thinking about grilled vegetables?
Well, yes, because I've been aware of people who grill vegetables. In fact, you and I have talked about it several times. I know that you're fond of eggplants, I think, grilled, aren't you? Wasn't that what you liked? Or was it zucchinis?
It was probably zucchini.
Probably zucchinis. Probably zucchini. But, you know, a long time ago, I don't know how long ago, grilling of vegetables was sort of a second thought, not a primary thought of people. Mm-hmm. And so they would chop the vegetables up small and try to put them on the grill, and it wouldn't work. And you had to buy that strange contraption, which was a piece of metal about a foot square that had holes in it. And all that really did, by laying that on top of the grill, all that did was just give you a skillet. You know, and so you were really, really just sweating the vegetables. Mm-hmm. And I was never impressed with it. And I remember buying one, and I remember using it once and said, is this all you get out of this? Forget it. And then there have been techniques of more recent where people cut the vegetables larger. And so they can support themselves on a grill. And I think what kind of snuck in and pushed it just a little bit was our attention to peppers that you char on top of the stove, and you can do that on the grill as well. And so there's been more attention to that, and all of a sudden, while you're doing that, then why don't you do this, and on and on and on and on. And then I did a funny little trick the other night. I roasted vegetables because I didn't do grill, but I roasted the vegetables and then put those into a pizza, so that it didn't take so long to cook it, and the vegetables were already cooked, and it was kind of neat. And I thought, well, I know that, and not only that, but then I also saved some of the vegetables, and I have them for making another pizza that's already prepared. And what my concern about that was then was to make the slices big enough that they wouldn't. Well, of course, I put it on a pan, and all. But I do know that there are some techniques that are happening, and some new vegetables, and some new ways of dealing with the vegetables. I think Paula Deen grilled did a strange grill, which I thought was kind of unusual, cutting a tomato in half, and then turning it upside down and grilling the bottom, cut bottom, in the grill, and then turning them back up and covering them with some breadcrumbs and cheese, and then grilling them again from the bottom. And I thought, that's a very complex thing, but she seemed to enjoy it very much and had very nicely grilled Provençal tomatoes. And so it made me aware that more and more is happening. And then instead of charring a pepper, just cut the pepper in half and turn it upside down and cook it from the inside. Then it softens, then you turn it over, and then you will char the back, and it does give a different taste. And how far can you go?
Yeah.
Somebody suggested last night, take a potato and cut it in quarter-inch slices and a nice, great, big potato so it doesn't fall through, and then just grill a potato in slices. So I thought, well, that's not a bad idea. Yeah.
I saw just was looking at some new cooking magazine that we got at our house the other day. I'm kind of thinking that it might be fine cooking. I don't know. We got a couple of different magazines, and this also had a technique, and I guess I would not have thought about it, for grilling potatoes, where it was the chunks were fairly small, but they just put them on a skewer. And I thought, okay.
A potato kebab.
Yes, exactly. And I don't recall whether it was, I suppose you could use a metal skewer, you could use the bamboo, the wooden ones that you would do, if you're doing satay or
soak them in water.
You got to make sure that you soak them in water. And this was it. I don't now recall what all was on this. I know it involved some rosemary, which is always a good thing with potatoes.
Oh yes,
as far as I'm concerned. And I thought, well, gosh, I wouldn't have thought about that, to put them on a skewer, but that would work just fine. You do it with other stuff if you're going to cut it in small pieces, so it doesn't fall through.
That's rather interesting, because then you can take these things that take a little longer to cook and cook them a little longer, rather than try to make everything come out at once. I would slip a piece of sage leaf in your potato instead of the rosemary.
That would be good.
Sage on roast potatoes is absolutely wonderful. It always surprises me, but it's wonderful. And so a sage leaf skewered on the potato would do quite well. And then you see, then with that, then go to the rest of why not turnips? And for that matter, how is this for heresy? How about radishes?
Grilled radishes.
Grilled radishes.
Don't see why not.
Well, that's another thing that's been creeping into our cuisine is cooking with radishes, and I find that kind of interesting. But the grill is a nifty thing to have around.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as you say, it isn't only for meat anymore.
We are open to your suggestions, your recipes, your cooking comments. Doyle Moore is here. He's the man we like to call our chef in residence once a month, always on the first Wednesday. He's here, and we talk about cooking. He picks some particular topic, and we start with that. And sometimes, who knows where it is, we end up wandering. Questions, comments, recipes, all of that, welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Tell us about what you'd do with
grilled vegetables. Have you given any thought to grilling a pizza?
I have given a lot of thought to it, and it's something that I have been meaning, I don't know, for a couple of summers now. I continue to say I would like to try it because, in our house we like to have pizza, and in the wintertime we have one of those ceramic stones.
Oh, yes. That's very good.
And it's really good.
Get it hot.
But you got to fire up the oven really high, so you really don't want
to.
Yeah,
it wants to be 400.
Yes,
you're going to do that.
And I have, yes, I have thought about trying to do the pizza. And
well,
just for
again,
some reason,
I watched. Haven't done it. You'd think all I do is sit and watch the Food Channel. Well, it is. I do it quite a bit. But I was stunned when I saw someone put a raw, uncooked pizza dough that they had squashed out flat. It wasn't very round. It was sort of dog-eared, but it was funny. And put it right on the grill and cooked it for 4 minutes on the grill, and then turned it over, and then put all the stuff on top of it. And apparently that was really quite wonderful.
Yeah,
I was sort of surprised at that, because I thought, what?
I have certainly seen, I don't know if I've seen people on cooking shows do it. I've certainly seen cookbooks and maybe in magazines saying that, well, yes, that you can do this, that there's no, you know, it's a problem. And as you say, what they want you to do is you do have to take your crust, put it down, grill that side first, and then flip it over and then put your stuff on top of that and cook it for the rest of the way.
Well, I did that the other night again on a pan, but well, when I was making the pizza. But there is something I like it. It's a pizza crust that's already made. I mean, the soft crust is already made,
mm-hmm.
and it's in a tube. I had never done that. I have a friend who makes their pizza crust all the time, but I'm keep thinking, oh, I need 5 hours to do that. And, you know, I want to bam and hit it on the side of the sink and get it going. It worked beautifully, and it's Pillsbury. It's a Pillsbury in a tube, and it's just called pizza dough. And of course, I dumb me, not knowing what I was doing. Took it out, and there it was, this sort of sausage. I started smashing it down. I realized it actually is rolled up, and I could have unrolled it a lot better and not had nearly as – I mean, it kept drawing back and drawing back, and I laughed. I said, this is an awful lot of trouble. Then I sort of – all of a sudden, I lifted up. Hey, this is a piece that is belonging over here. So that was my new experience. So, yes, I try to keep things – of the moment here.
All right. We have a caller. Others, welcome. Let's talk with this first person here in Urbana. Line number one. Hello.
Hi. I don't have much of a technique, but my son has decided to start growing mangoes. I introduced him to Kent mangoes a couple of years ago. And these have a really gorgeous orange flesh and almost no fiber. They just kind of melt in your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hard. I haven't persuaded mango sellers here to label what kind of mangoes they are. They don't understand that mangoes are like apples. You don't just buy an apple. You buy Macintosh or whatever. But anyway, he got married a couple of weeks ago, and he asked the caterer to grill some mangoes as part of the reception dinner. And they, I don't know if they added anything to the mangoes, but they basically sliced down alongside the pit.
Oh, right, that big flat seed, yes.
Yeah, the big flat seed, and left the skin on. And I'm not sure whether they put them on the grill face down or with the flesh up or down, but they, the mango ends up quite soft, so it hadn't occurred to me to leave the skin on, but it was quite tasty.
That would help in removing it or moving it around or even flipping it over. That would help a lot because I can see that getting very soft and mushy.
I was otherwise preoccupied, so I didn't watch them.
But then you tasted it.
Oh yeah, it tasted quite nice.
And now, what would you say that the grilling did to it in terms of taste? Because we were talking about that, and I think that is some of the appeal that these grilled vegetables must have, is that they taste different.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it is. As I said, I was otherwise distracted.
Yeah, well, of course.
I wasn't totally focusing on the food, and I don't know, somehow it changes the texture, and it also, I think that hot food as opposed to cold food, that the taste is different.
Well, yes, yes.
They're both good, but it's also different. But I'm sorry I couldn't compare the cold mango to the hot mango. And mangoes do vary a lot. It will be interesting to see what the mangoes from India taste like and what sort of texture and so forth they have. But now that I'm thinking about mangoes, I'm thinking, I think this is the season for them.
I think that one of my friends, I never paid any attention. I just thought a mango is a mango. When I was in Hawaii, there were mangoes, and I ate them. And then you get here, and you didn't like the one you were getting because if something wasn't good about it. But one of my friends prefers to choose the little orange, the little yellow orange ones, not the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never paid attention to that difference before, but apparently there is a lot of difference in that.
Well, I don't know how to tell the difference on the outside from the between the Kent and the Tommy Atkins, which seem to be Tommy Atkins.
How about size? Isn't there a size difference?
No, no.
Not?
But the way that I know what I was getting the one time, as I ended up on a quick trip up to Chicago, and my husband's plane was canceled here, and he needed to make a connection. So I said, I'll just drive you up to O'Hare, and I want to go over to Devon Street.
Oh, yes.
And see what's there. It's an excuse to treat myself. So I did, and I got up there, and I called back here to Nepali and Indian friends, and I said, okay, I'm on Devon Street, the Indian section. Now, what do I do? And they said, buy mangoes.
Oh, all right.
And I happened to be standing across the street from a produce shop that just sold produce, and it had stacks and stacks of crates of mangoes, outside on the sidewalk. So I bought a couple of crates, and I happened to look on the edge of the box, and the boxes are printed with the varieties, and they can the shipper can check off what kind of
yes.
mango it is. They don't seem to do that for the supermarkets, like the ones that are shipped down to IGA or
right.
you know, the markets here, because I've had the produce people look for me to tell me what kind they are. And they also told me get ones that are fairly firm. So I brought a bunch of cases back, and as they ripened in my kitchen, the aroma was just gorgeous.
That is exotic, isn't it?
I was eating a mango a day. They were just wonderful. Anyway, so it seems to me I've also seen something about grilling avocados in the shell. I don't know whether I would what I would think about that, but
I pondered on that myself a little bit, and I believe what I would want to do is have a greener avocado. So that it doesn't just turn into mush. One that has a little bit of substance to it. Or just peel it and cut it in half and don't make it any smaller. Mm-hmm. And I think because then you would have some substance that you could pick up and it wouldn't be a little tiny stuff. I kind of wondered about that myself. That a grill, why not a grilled avocado?
I'm picturing a half of an avocado.
Yes.
With maybe the skin still on.
With the skin still on? Well, yeah, and then you could scoop it out with a spoon.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
You betcha.
You. Well, other questions, comments are certainly welcome here this morning. It's the first Wednesday. We've been for a long time talking about food and cooking this time around the month with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. Now, let me point something out, ladies and gentlemen. This title is purely honorary, okay?
You tell him you made it up.
Yes, of course. Most of the stuff we do here, we make up. And he stops by and he picks a particular topic, and we always have a good time. We exchange stories and recipes and cooking tips and so forth. And this time around, he said, well, let's talk about grilling vegetables. And right away, I assume he meant like outside on the charcoal or the gas grill, doing them that way. Although I guess you can.
Emerald does it in his studio, you know, on that raised
indoor.
Yes.
Grills.
And he's grilling a lot of stuff on the grills that way.
And you can, we didn't really start out talking about it, but as the caller would suggest, you also can grill fruit, various kinds of fruit. Most of them you probably want to put on a skewer, but almost anything, well, I don't know, maybe that's a number of things you can grill.
Coming over here today, kind of mentally preparing myself to think about it, all of a sudden I thought, oh gosh, yes, pineapple slices.
Yeah, absolutely. And there for sure what's going to happen is the sugars and the fruit
will
caramelize.
Yes.
And that will definitely change it.
Yes, that'll definitely be changing.
And something similar like that happens with the vegetables. And I don't know if it's that there actually are some sugars in some vegetables and you actually do get a little caramelization. And that happens?
In onions, yes.
Certainly in onions
you would.
So
if you grilled half-inch or three-quarter-inch slices of onions, you'd have a real good taste. Get a Vidalia.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
they're good to begin with and they cook very, very well. And and a grilled onion, I grilled the onions the other night.
All right. Well, let's talk with someone in Gibson City. They're next, line one.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Well, I have a little different question. We have a charcoal grill that's about ending its life, and We're looking for a new one, and we're debating whether to go with a charcoal again or gas, and, you know, what type. So if you have any suggestions on that, I'll...
Well, yes, I do, okay. As a matter of fact.
Okay.
I hang out with some people who are aficionados with the grill. And, of course, I thought that the answer was, well, this is 2007. You want a nice gas grill that all you have to do is punch a button and it turns on and then turn it off and that's all there is to it. But I find that there is a great keenness in using real charcoal, not charcoal briquettes, but real charcoal, which I didn't think was possible to find, and I found three places that already have it, mainly because I was never going out to look for it. Mm-hmm. But they wanted real charcoal, and then they set it up, and the technique that seems to be one that a lot of people like is called a two-level. Now, that doesn't mean two levels, one above the other. It means put fire on one side of the grill and leave the other side with no fire under it. So what you do is you quickly sear things over the fire, and then you move it over to the other side and let it cook by indirect heat until it is done. And that seems to be, I think, the latest fashion in using grills. And good old Weber is very hard to beat. And so you might, and it's not expensive, and you might consider just getting a Weber, but start using real charcoal.
And could you say where you get that, or should we
the charcoal? Well, I found the real charcoal at Menards.
Oh.
And okay. I found it at Schnucks yesterday.
Okay. Okay.
And it's real charcoal, and it burns beautifully, and it burns clearer and cleaner, and you do not under any circumstances pour a lighter fluid on it.
Okay.
Don't do that at all. That stinks up the neighborhood, and it stinks up the grill and everything. And so I think all these combinations, but they were. My friends are very adamant about that's the way to go. And so they gripe at my new gas grill. And if you're going to use a gas grill, also in that two-layer bit, turn one down to low, and one if you have two, turn one to low and one to high, and then treat it that way where you do the quick cooking over the high and then move it over to the low and do the rest of the cooking. It is not like we were taught to do, fill it up until the house would burn down, and then I'm living through the idea of trying to cook those chicken legs, and they would never be done on the inside, and they'd be burned on the outside, and no one ever told me to don't slather the stuff over them first, do it at the end. I mean, we've gone through a whole lot of learning about cooking on a grill, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
And so that's why I'm kind of interested now. I think it's totally a different attitude in cooking, and you sort of do it as not an expedient means of pretending you're having a backyard party, but it actually is a good way of cooking.
Well, good. Thank you for your advice.
You betcha.
And my husband does the grilling, so I got some things to tell him.
Good. Good for you. Well, try that. You'll love it.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
All right, well, thank
bye
you.
Bye.
I too have been very curious about the real charcoal, which is, I guess, what they do. It's just chunks of wood.
Chunks of wood that are burned.
Some
people I know make their own charcoal. I mean, they burn wood in their fireplace or something like that, and then pull the charcoal out before it's completely consumed, mm-hmm. and use that. I know. I remember Shozo Sato doing that in Colorado. What are you doing? He said, well, I'm making charcoal. You don't make charcoal. You buy it in briquettes.
Go see Mr. Kingford.
Exactly. Oh, guess who invented charcoal?
Well, it was a byproduct of manufacture of automobiles. It was the Ford folks, and they had all this wood left over, and Mr. Ford, not liking to throw anything away and looking for an opportunity to make some money, decided that they could turn it into briquettes, and he was assisted in this by someone who worked for him whose name was Mr. Kingsford.
Mr. Kingsford, yes.
And that is why we have charcoal briquettes, because they had the wood. I don't know if they were using it in the dashboards or somewhere in the car. They had these wood scraps, and they said, well, what can we do with these? We don't just want to throw them away. So someone came up with
the idea
that you could make these
briquettes. Now, I'm going to push that just a little bit farther. You know where the wood scraps came from? Mr. Ford would order car parts who were made by other people, you know, other than him. He didn't make all the car parts. He would order certain ones, but he gave specific instructions for the crates and the cartons that they were supposed to be put in, and then they would take them apart and use them as the floorboards of the car. So then the scraps left over became the charcoal.
Robert Barron.
Who says that we aren't inventive?
Well, we were once. Maybe we still are. We're a little bit past our midpoint here. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. It's our monthly show on cooking with Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence. We're talking about grilling. Particularly, he said he was interested in hearing about what you do for grilling vegetables outside on the grill, whether it's a charcoal grill or a gas grill, you know, whatever you do to them. How do you cut them? How do you wrangle them? How do you prep them? Do you like to put sauce of some sort?
Do you sprinkle oil or do you paint it on? I mean, that makes a difference.
Yeah. And I think too, also, sometimes people, particularly with some things, they actually like to cook them just a little bit first. Say, you know, pop them in the microwave and just cook them just a little bit.
Oh, yes. And then
get your grill marks. Yeah, get your marks. If you want to make sure that it is actually cooked all the way through, you know, because you could have
that
same problem with, say you were grilling a potato, you could get something that was kind of charred on the outside, but actually it wasn't cooked all the way through. So we have other callers. Downs next, line four. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I have a little tip that I love roasted peppers.
Yes.
And so I have one of those chimney kind of starters.
Oh, yes.
And I lay one of those fish vegetable little grill things on the top of it. And when I'm starting it, I put a pepper on top.
Oh, so you're sort of using the heat before it gets used up.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. And that would concentrate it. It comes right out the top of the chimney.
Right.
I just learned how to use a chimney last week.
And I love doing this. Every time I start charcoal, I roast a pepper.
Yes.
Well, that's a great use of otherwise what would be otherwise wasted heat.
Well,
right. That carbon going up in the air.
Exactly. That's very smart. Oh, that's very good.
And the other thing is that it doesn't have to take you 5 hours to make your own pizza dough.
Okay.
I was going to say I think you could do it an hour and a half myself, but
I can do it in 30 minutes.
Oh my!
Well, maybe a little bit more, but it's not. Everybody knows that the best bread is slow rise and all that.
Yes.
Stuff. But this is quick, and it's awfully good.
Well, can you tell us a recipe?
Can't. You put a cup and a half of flour, and I just use all-purpose flour, in the bowl of a food processor.
Mm-hmm.
You add a teaspoon of salt and a couple of teaspoons of instantized dried yeast.
Okay, the quick rise.
Right.
Yeah. 2 teaspoons.
A cup and a half of the hottest tap water you've got.
Oh, uh-huh.
Pulse the food processor a little bit just to mix things together. Then pour in the hot water. And just until that mixes together, turn it off. I'm a little afraid of over-mixing in a food processor, so I always turn it off.
Oh, yes.
Little steps here. Put in a couple of tablespoons of olive oil.
Okay, 2 teas of olive oil. Yeah.
Process it again for a little bit. And then start adding flour.
Okay.
And just add it until it masses on the blade.
Oh, uh-huh. Starts to pack up, yeah.
Turns from goo into a dough. And stop. Leave it very soft.
Oh, yes.
Turn it out. knead it just to bring it together, and let it rise for half an hour.
For a half hour.
And then, and that makes two, you know, good-sized pizzas.
I'm going to do that because I wanted to do that. I didn't really like giving in to the product, but I'm going to do this. Thank you very, very much.
No, it's so simple, and you can use part whole wheat if you want to.
Oh yes, I would like that. I like to use whole
white whole wheat flour that you like. So
yes, well. Indeed.
And if I do this to make focaccia, also.
Oh
if I
yeah.
Do that. What I do is I give it like a 10-minute rise in a really warm place, like a warmed oven.
Uh-huh.
Take it out and top it, and then give it the 30-minute rise.
Oh, okay.
But again, you can have bread in an hour.
Well, I like that.
I used to do this all the time.
I like that a lot.
Because it's so, when I started cooking, I would just, you know, throw together the bread and.
Now I make a bread that's called Cuban bread, and it goes very quickly too. And it's very much like what you've done, using tap water and yeast and flour, and then going right into a cold oven
That's an old James Beard recipe.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly, and it works, and it always thrills people. And you now I don't mind taking an hour to bake a loaf of bread, but I'm going to do exactly that.
That was the first bread I ever made.
Isn't that good?
Bread. Yeah.
Cuban bread.
I have a request now. Can we just review this real quick?
Sure.
Can you just tell us once more?
Sure. A cup and a half of flour in a food processor.
Yes.
Together with a teaspoon or so, I just measure it in my hand, of salt.
Salt.
And a couple of teaspoons, you can use a whole package if you want to, of instantized dried yeast.
Right.
Pulse that just to mix it. Pour in a cup and a half of hot tap water.
Yes.
Process that, and it will be a real batter at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Add 2 or 3 tablespoons of olive oil.
Olive oil.
Then start adding flour, like a large spoonful at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mixing spoon, kind of big spoon, just until the dough masses on the blade. And what it will do, it will come together in a ball.
In a ball, right.
Stop. And leave it very soft. It'll be a lot gooier than you think bread should be.
And it'll be warm.
Yeah.
Because you got the hot water.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And just toss it on a board to bring it together and let it rise for half an hour.
And that's it.
Okay.
Two big pizzas.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. See, now I'm going to have to try it.
There it is.
I'm going to have to do it. Okay. Let us then talk with some other folks here. And next is Alfordsville, Indiana, I believe, here, line number 1. Where is Alfordsville?
It's south of Highway 50, about 7 miles from Logoti, or it's about 20 miles from Washington.
Okay.
Wow.
Well.
Glad to talk to you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I want to change subject a little bit. I know we mentioned eggplant early, and I know a lot of people really don't care for it, but also I like okra.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not much into grilling, but I have sauteed small okra in an orange skillet on top of the stove.
Yes.
And I put a little bit of olive oil in it, and I do it real low heat, and I salt it maybe a couple or three times while I'm, processing it. But I'm wondering how it would work on a grill if you tried that.
Well, I would think it would work quite well. You know, I would look in some Indian cooking magazines because they use okra a lot, and I would see if there's any way of having a roasted form of okra. But I would think that it, since you don't really have to cook it a whole lot, what you really want to do is get rid of that. That ropey taste, that gooey stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's done with covering it and frying it. But I would think that you could probably grill them.
This I liked a lot better than saying chopping it up and using cornmeal.
Yes.
But this just, it changes the flavor some. And I would think that for some people that can't stand okra, they might really love this.
That would still be very fresh because...
It is, and I love raising okra because it never gets too hot for it, and the hotter it gets, the more... And when everything else green in the garden is gone, you have your okra.
And they have beautiful flowers anyway, don't they?
They do.
I think they're, aren't they a hibiscus?
I do not know.
I think that the okra plant is a hibiscus.
I do.
And that's why they're so pretty.
I do not know, but, well, I have some planted for this year, but now I'm beginning to get concerned with no bees and no this.
Oh, yes.
Will I have a crop or
will
I
think probably so.
I think that the bee problem is, fortunately, not yet. May Barenbaum, who's a head of the entomology department here at the U of I, was just on the show the other day. And one of the things we were talking about was the colony collapse disorder we have seen some places around the country and the world. And one of the things that she said that was minorly comforting was that so far it has not been seen in the state of Illinois, or I presume also in Indiana. So,
well, I haven't seen very many bees this year, and I'm beginning to get concerned. A lot of times the bumblebees will take over.
Oh, yes.
But I haven't really seen any of those, and I don't know whether it's because it hasn't been hot enough or long enough or what the problem could be. But okra, I think if some people would try it sautéed, they might... they'd like it.
I think you're right. I like when you can't buy it, when you can't buy it in the farmer's market, getting the very small pieces that they're frozen, and they're very good. You saute them quickly.
Right.
Small okra is good.
I just do it whole, and it's I use maybe depending on how the weather is. The size I use, like maybe 2, even up to 3 inches.
Oh, yes.
If it's had moisture and...
And it's tender.
Right.
And fresh.
Right. Yeah.
That's so good. Well, thank you. That's good.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Well, and just after the caller mentioned the subject, I here put into my web browser grilled okra and came up with all kinds of hits. So apparently a lot of other people think, of course you can grill okra.
Grilled okra.
It looks like here, for example, here's somebody who's done it by taking the okras and putting them on bamboo skewers, setting two skewers side by side like railroad tracks and skewering them with the okra across like they were the ties.
Uh-huh.
And that would make it easier then to turn it and put it on the charcoal grill.
And okra kebab.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. The same sort of thing. And I'm sure that you could season it different sort of ways. You could just put a little oil and salt.
I think
brushing
oil on it would help too.
There was also one here that was a recipe with a kind of an Indian sort of a spin, because what they did was I think that they took it and they dressed it with a little garlic and cumin.
Oh, yes, cumin would be good.
And so you could, I'm sure that you could do whatever, treat it in whatever way that you would like, but yeah, grilling okra, no problem.
That'd be good.
Mm.
That's called bindi
in India.
Yes, bindi.
Very good.
I think they call it ladyfingers.
We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus. We're talking this morning about grilling vegetables. And Doyle Moore is here. He's here once a month, always on the first Wednesday. We have a good time with cooking and recipes and so forth. We'll talk next with someone in Champaign County. Line number 2. Hello.
Doyle Moore, you're my favorite.
Well, thank you.
I look forward to listening to you. Even if I don't cook any of this stuff, I like to hear you talk about it.
Well, I like talking about it. Yes, thank you.
You can tell. So I have a cheater recipe.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of found it on accident. I was grilling some chicken using that Walker's Wood jerk paste, which is made of the Scotch bonnet peppers.
Oh, yes. Spice.
If you take some mushrooms and just follow the directions on the back of the can in terms of, like what you do for a marinade, just following the directions. You use cider vinegar, cheap oil.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in there with either soy sauce or Worcestershire, and just throw the mushrooms in there with your chicken. mm-hmm. but all of it on the grill is a wonderful, wonderful treat. It doesn't taste like too many other things in America. You know what I mean?
Well, yes, because you're adding yes, but you're adding some good combinations together. The soy sauce and the vinegar and oil will it sets it up pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt. I wanted to tell people about the coffee can trick. Like, if you don't like to use any kind of distillate of petroleum on your charcoal briquettes, you can get a coffee can, punch a couple holes in it, crumple up newspaper, and put briquettes on top of it. So you've kind of got a tube.
Well, yes, the chimney, yeah.
Yeah, that's people buy them retail, but they can be had for free.
I think that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of making one, and they're about the right size, a coffee can.
Yeah, like, I don't know that anybody drinks that kind of coffee anymore.
Oh,
pre-ground.
Yeah.
But my parents loved it, and there was always a lot of coffee cans around, so it was convenient. But just a one crumpled piece of newspaper will start the entire thing up.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Doyle.
You betcha.
Look forward to hearing you again.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye-bye.
And that we were talking about the natural charcoal. People who use that real charcoal also mm-hmm. don't like to use the fluid. But what you need to do is you either make your own or go out and get one of these lighting chimneys.
Yes.
That way, as you say, it's just a tall metal cylinder that's got holes in it, and it's got a handle.
Has a handle.
And you put some crumpled up newspaper in there.
And the air comes up the bottom and starts it. Instantly.
And it works.
And quickly.
It really does work.
And yeah, and one piece of paper will do it.
Yeah. So that's something maybe to investigate, particularly for people who have concerns about the whatever might be in that. And I use it. I haven't used it for a long time, but every once in a while I think, I wonder what exactly is in that lighter fluid, and does it really all burn off? Or
Well, if you can smell it in the neighborhood, no, it doesn't burn off,
Yeah.
You can always tell when somebody's firing it up.
Yeah.
I love these ads where the guy's out. And the thing blows up. I don't know. There's a couple of ads where somebody is not smart and they blow up there.
That's why guys like the barbecue. They like working with flammable liquids.
I guess that's it.
All right. Woodford County is next, line number three. Hello.
Hi, Doyle and David. Great show.
Hi, good.
We also grill with a Weber kettle, and we started with an electric starter.
Yeah, I guess I have used those. I don't know what your experience is. My experience is that after a while it just burns up.
Yeah,
and you have to get a new one. Yeah, yeah.
But the vegetable we grill is sweet potatoes.
Oh my, yes.
And we cut them in half and put a pat of butter in them and just roll them up in aluminum foil. And while you're waiting for the grill to get hot enough for hamburgers or steaks, it seems like they're always done.
Yeah, it doesn't take very long to cook a sweet potato. No, that's but you do it in an aluminum foil wrap.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and I have a request for next month's show.
All right.
Chili peppers. I can raise boatloads of them, but I don't know what to do with them. So that's my request.
Well, we're liable to do that at any time. And well, maybe we can let's see, next time is July.
Mm-hmm.
If it fits somebody's 4th of July feast, we can do that, or we can wait until August.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, well, chili pepper. We'll do chilies sometime. Thank you.
Well, it's hot.
It's
like
hot.
A firecracker.
That's it.
Like 4th of July.
Well, it may just creep in there.
All right.
We'll find out.
We'll talk again with somebody here. Let's go to line number one. Hello.
Hello, is that me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't quite understand the coffee can thing. Do you put a hole in the bottom of the can, and how big?
You'd put a lot of holes in the bottom.
So you have
air going up. I would not put it so much in the bottom as I would the lower edge
around the side.
Around the
right.
side.
Okay.
I'd poke a lot of holes in, because if you get the air coming up in that, then that'll work. You could also cut a big hole in the bottom, and then that way you could also lift it up and
Well, how do you hold this thing? There's no handle.
With a pair of pliers.
Don't you
think?
That would be the problem. It's going to be hot.
You take a pair of pliers and you kind of bend down the top so that you can hang on to it on
so
the side.
A little ledge there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll work.
Okay.
Or you go to Menards and get one for $7.50.
Well, I have a lot of coffee cans.
Oh, yes. Okay.
They're always useful.
That'll
thank
do
you.
It.
Yeah, thank right. you.
You well, bet. Thanks.
Thank
you.
I guess that's what that would be the one advantage of buying one already made. It does have a handle.
It has a handle on it.
And
you
don't
have
to figure
out
now.
A little bit bigger. You know, it's yeah. nice and tall.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of using the coffee can.
Well, I'm sure that it would work. Yeah, I'm sure it would work. Absolutely. We have a couple of minutes left. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. So now in terms of if you're going to grill vegetables, would you, in terms of prepping them before you put them on, in addition to maybe putting on a little olive oil, what else would you like to do? Would you season them before, or would you wait, or
no,
not?
No, you kind of want to season them after. We haven't talked about corn. You know, corn is a great grill thing.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Mexican streets, they grill the corn and char it just a little bit. And then sometimes put a mixture of cream and a kind of like a shaved Parmesan cheese on top of that, and a little sprinkle of chili powder. But Indian Brother likes to just soak the corn in cold water and put it on unpeeled.
Unhusked.
Unhusked, yes. And then let that burn. And then when you peel it off, you get a very smoky but steamed chunk of corn.
Hmm. So there are different and truly, we were talking earlier about, you know, what happens when you grill the vegetables, because there is sugar in the corn.
Yes.
And that does caramelize.
That would
it
caramelize.
It does. So that's a nice thing, grilled corn. Absolutely. Let's talk with some other folks here. Champagne is next, line one.
Hi, I just wanted to give you one more suggestion on your starting the fire.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
Take both the top and the bottom with your can opener off the can, so it's a tube.
Oh, that's why it's that's why there's I didn't think of taking the bottom
right.
off.
Right, and then before you take the bottom off, take just a regular beer opener and punch holes all the way around
all
the bottom.
Around the outside edge.
Yeah, and then take the bottom off. And
yes.
You've got a tube, and if you don't want to lift it with a pair of pliers, I used to attach a hanger to it and lay it off to the side.
Oh, well, yeah.
And then when it's hot, you just pick it up.
Pick it up with a hanger.
Yep.
That's it. I hadn't thought about it.
It's an old Girl Scout thing.
Well, well, that's why in my mind I said, if you want to, cut a big hole in the bottom.
Yeah.
I didn't think of cutting the bottom off.
So yeah, then you would take that and
yeah,
set it down.
Off and make sure the holes are in the bottom, because
yes.
right, you want the air to drain.
You want the air to go up. Yeah.
So then before you light it, you set it down into the grill.
Right.
And when the coals are hot, then you just lift it up and it slips right.
Right, and then the coals spread out.
Right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It really works faster, too, than the accelerant.
Oh yes, I'm really sort of stunned at that. I watched. It was blazing hot in just no time,
right.
And I remember spending hours waiting, and then it would go out, pour more on it, and then don't put it on now. Oh, all kinds of things. No, I don't like that. I never did like the smell of that anyway.
Okay,
thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
See, we should be hanging out more with old Girl Scouts. line number two, I think. At least one more here in Urbana. Hello.
Yes, hello. I didn't know if anybody had talked about grilling beets.
No.
But that's really a fantastic thing to do.
And a grilled beet, yes.
Yes. People who don't like beets even like that, grilled beets oftentimes. I like to slice them about 1/4 inch to 3/8 inch.
1/4 inch, yes.
So, yeah, toss them with olive oil and salt and pepper, and then grill them on indirect heat, you know, low and slow.
Oh, all right.
And then they can be used. I like to do a beet salad, which is after they've cooled down, mix them with mixed greens and roasted pecans, a little French sheep feta or some kind of feta cheese,
yes.
And then a mustard vinaigrette. It's really nice.
Oh, that's good. Greens and pecans and a vinaigrette, yes.
Yes, with a little feta cheese. It's really a nice foil
feta,
to the richness
yes.
of the beets. But the beets are great just on their own, too.
That sounds pretty good. And then now the they aren't cooked until they're mushy. They're probably a little bit crisp
right.
yet, aren't they?
They need to be a little. You know, they need to be soft enough so that their sugars have come
yes.
up. You know,
yes.
Yeah. So but too hot and too fast isn't good, because the sugar
slow heat
will burn. Yeah, mm-hmm. Slow heat. But it is a really great way to eat beets.
I'm going to do that too. Thank you.
All right.
I'm getting my recipes picked up here. Good.
I think maybe we'll try one more. In sure. Indiana, someone on cell phone. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I picked up kind of halfway through. Did you guys talk about Idaho potatoes on the grill?
No, not really, but we talked about potatoes. Tell me what
so
you
how do.
So
how do you do them?
All right, I'd get a good-sized Idaho, and I'd parboil it about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Partially cooked. Then I'd cut it long ways into slabs. This way you can get a nice starch while you're on your grill, but still have the grilled flavor. I have kind of an all-purpose oil that I brush on it. The all-purpose
yes.
oil would be olive oil with some crushed garlic, dry oregano, dry basil, maybe a little cayenne in there. It's kind of an all-purpose marinade thing. I'd brush that on both sides and sear it up, and you've got little potato slabs.
Wow.
With a very flavorful, partially cooked before they go on, and then, like I say, 3/8 of an inch or so, so you've got something to go with whatever you grill. Other thing I do on the grill, which is completely different, is use it to wrap trout in foil.
Oh, yes.
I'll put a couple slices of lemon inside the trout.
Yes.
And maybe a little dill.
And a
butter.
Slice of onion.
Yeah, maybe a little white wine. Seal it up and essentially poach it inside the foil.
That does work because it doesn't take a long time.
Nah, not too bad because trout's pretty delicate. But anyway, I love the show and caught you over here by Lafayette on I-65 going to Indianapolis.
Wow. Well, thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
I'm hungry now, but I have to do another hour of the show. We have to leave it right there.
Oh, dear.
With the promise that Doyle will be back. And next month, because the 4th of July, the first Wednesday is the 4th of July, we're not going to do it on the first Wednesday, and we've decided we're going to do it on Monday. So Doyle will be here on Monday, July 2nd, we think in the 10 o'clock hour. But anyway, check with us closer to that time. And we'll get some of these recipes for you on our website. Go to WILL.UIUC.EDU. Go to AM, Focus 580. Go to Links, and there you'll find some recipes from past shows. And soon we will have some of these on.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.